He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
All right, that is all that I basically have when it comes to, you know, previewing tomorrow's game specifically. We do have a couple of super comments, so we'll go ahead and play my favorite sound.
Fuck Washington!
You know, I technically could play this one whenever the Lakers play the Mavericks. My throat, man. I'm sorry, Anthony Davis. Like, I'm not trying to pick on AD. I swear I'm not. I'm just marveling at the irony of Nico Harrison trades Luka Doncic fresh off of, like, one of the most impressive starts to any career that we have ever seen in NBA history. He trades Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis. Luke, and part of the reason for doing so, he said both publicly and tried to leak privately, part of the reason for it was because he didn't think Luka was going to be able to stay in shape. Well, trades Luka, Luka gets in shape, Anthony Davis gets to training camp 15 pounds overweight. It's a cold world, man. It is a cold, cold world. All right, let's start with that super comment from Brandon Omang, who writes, lineup, LD, Luka, AR, Bando, LeBron, Ayton, with a bench unit of Marcus Smart, Dalton Connect, JL. Who's JL? Jake LaRavia, Rui Hachimura, and Jackson Hayes. I understand why people are hoping that Vando would be good enough to start. And look, Redick has, you know, spoken about and raved really about Jared Vanderbilt to this point quite a bit. I just know how much JJ Redick cares about shooting and spacing. And there's a reason that Rui was the clubhouse leader to be the starter at the beginning of next season, even before Marcus Smart got hurt, right? Like, JJ Redick loves and cares deeply. Like, one of the better points that I think anybody has made about JJ Redick is when Jovan points out how, you know, JJ Redick is very flexible on principles and concepts and you know, these foundational concepts that he doesn't care that deeply about. But when it's something that he really, really cares about, when it's one of those, you know, core principles of his, he is not very flexible there. And one of the, like, I would argue the core principle that JJ Redick cares about the most is probably shooting. So long as that remains the case, I just don't think Jared Vanderbilt is going to be anything more than like a two, maybe three shift player. And those guys don't start. So, yeah, I think it's always been between Rui Hachimura and Marcus Smart for that final starting spot. And with Marcus Smart missing at least the first week of training camp, and given the fact that, I don't know if I would call it a fact, but like, given that I heard Rui was already the clubhouse leader heading into training camp, it just appears that JJ Redick is going to be very strict about, you know, spacing principles. So I just don't see a world where Jared Vanderbilt starts. Now, could he be one of the first guys off the bench? Like one of him or Smart basically has to be the first guy off of the bench so that you don't have too much overlap of their stints. Because if you go out there with a lineup of Marcus Smart and Jared Vanderbilt and Jackson Hayes, well, good luck to the other two guys trying to, you know, space the floor enough to make up for some of those floor spacing issues. So yeah, that's part of the reason that I was hoping that Smart would, one, be healthy enough to start, and two, would eventually get that nod, is because without him starting, it makes it really kind of difficult to have a bench unit that still abides JJ Redick's spacing principles and spacing as a priority. So yeah, it's just tough. I don't know what that looks like, but I do hope that, you know, the Lakers ranting and raving about Jared Vanderbilt so far in training camp, I do hope that that does, you know, eventually lead to a much more productive Jared Vanderbilt than we have seen the last couple of seasons. Next question here comes from Drip Show, who writes, what's a good way to contact you so we could send you a Drip Show Kobe canvas gift? We know you will love it. The show's email is bw.lakers.lounge@gmail.com, or you can there's also I believe a link in my Twitter profile at Anthony Irwin LA, which you can find there. But I'll take swag, I guess. But I appreciate the super comment to try to ask that question. I would you know, hit me with the bw.lakers.lounge@gmail.com. Oh, here we go. All right, let's go through some of your other comments. I also asked for questions. I just want to make sure I didn't miss too many of them. Let's see. Yeah, I think we're good there. All right, so let's run through some of your guys' questions, see if you guys had any questions. Alex Chavez, went on vacation and missed out on so many lives, and I'm still not caught up. Feel like the season is imminent. Thanks for all the content. No, I appreciate it. Normally in the off season, I usually scale it back to like three or so show, like long shows a week. Maybe a couple extra lowdowns and stuff, but it was actually, we had Eurobasket, we had the Clippers thing, we had the Lakers' own offseason, we had, you know, there was plenty of stuff to talk about throughout the offseason. I was actually able to stay at that, you know, four to four and a half episodes per week kind of pace, without feeling like I was trying to squeeze wine from a stone. The only reason I was able to do that and continue to do that, or feel like it was worth it to continue to do that, was because of the commitment that you guys, the audience, brought to the table. So shouts to you guys. You guys killed it this offseason and have continued to kill it as we get ready and into training camp. All right, Drip Show, what do you think of the Clippers not calling on certain reporters to avoid aspiration questions? I asked Buha. So let me see if I can find the clip from Ramona, who kind of detailed what was going on there. And this was funny to listen to. This is me being a producer while I host the show. Shouts to the tools of the trade that I've been able to develop. But yeah, essentially, Ramona, you know, said that the media was pretty muzzled, and the Clippers played some pretty stellar defense against the people who were trying to, yeah, the buyout offseason also helped Rosemary. Come on, Twitter, let's go. But yeah, according to Ramona, this clip isn't downloading. So that's kind of weird. Let's see. Is there another one? Copy link. Let's see that. But yeah, according to Ramona Shelburne, she asked a question of Kawhi and of Lawrence Frank. She got a question in for each of them about aspiration. Yeah, the Twitter downloader is working right now. But you know, after she asked that question, Clippers media, meaning State TV, right? Their Clippers TV reporter and their Clippers radio people, they jumped in and asked a couple of kind of fluff questions. And then I think she said that Law Murray asked a question. It was kind of a weird question, honestly, which was like, how do you, something along the lines of, how do you avoid this becoming a distraction heading into the season? Which that reminded me a lot of, I'm not going to make that point, but like, you know, like asking about it becoming a distraction. That's the kind of question that the Clippers, I would imagine, are going to be very comfortable with, right? Because it paints them as some kind of victim that is dealing with some distraction that other people brought upon them. And then, you know, Ramona, according to Ramona Shelburne, there were other reporters there. Well, first they yanked the microphone, according to Ramona. They yanked the microphone out of her hand before she could ask a follow-up of Kawhi Leonard. And then there were other reporters there with their hands up trying to ask questions, and they just kind of cut those questions short from there. And, you know, this is where the people who are it was like people who and I think it's good that members of the media get held to account, but it reminded me those people who like get angry at media, like beat reporters and those of us who ask questions for not asking the specific question that they would like asked. Some of it is that like these teams sometimes play defense in anticipation of the type of question that you would want asked, right? I remember talking to some beat reporters who covered Byron Scott, and it was like, if they asked any kind of a question that would, you know, kind of question Byron as a coach, the Lakers really bristled. I'm sorry, I need to take a cough. Whoa, almost died. But so, wow, I already sound better. But so essentially, like these teams, they'll know in their PR, like if they have even decent PR people, they'll know which questions are probably coming from the media. And they'll know which questions are coming from certain members of the media. And like D-Russ the legend. Love the choice of video. It was literally just like, I just need 12 seconds. Okay, there's 12 seconds here. Here we go. But yeah, to get back to the question. So PR, those of you who may be new to my content here, I come from PR. Before I started covering the Lakers, my first like big boy job was working at a pretty, you know, at a, we were called a boutique PR firm. I won't go into which PR firm I worked for, but we had clients all over the board, right? And, you know, dealing with media, arranging media availability, you know, sometimes we helped with crisis management as well, which also obviously featured a lot of handling the media and preparing people for media availabilities. Like, it was our job as a PR firm to basically like understand, you know, if we were in crisis mode, how to, you know, quell those waters and keep them as calm as possible to protect our clients, sometimes from themselves. And, you know, eventually you spend enough time in those jobs and you build enough of those relationships with members of the media. And you basically, you know, you understand like, all right, this guy is gonna, you know, this guy. And by the way, like I say this out of respect for journalists who operate like this, but like there were some journalists who's like, God dang it, this guy's here. He is gonna grill us or gosh damn it, this girl's here. Like, she's not gonna let us off the hook. And so we would, you know, we would try to manage those situations in a way where the journalist, now this is where I think the Clippers PR team screwed up, but you want the journalist and you want the members of the media to feel like they got something out of that, while also managing the situation that your client is in. And that's where I think the Clippers kind of screwed up, because now you have Ramona Shelburne going on ESPN LA saying, yeah, they yanked the mic out of my hands and then wouldn't answer Chris Mannix's question. So, you know, like Clippers fans would say that's just the Clippers PR team doing their jobs. But I would argue that it's pretty heavy handed. And, you know, we're living in a time where censorship is very much on the docket in society. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see, you know, people react to this who might not react to it in the real world, you know, or maybe not notice it in the real world. And that's where, again, I talked about the other day about how, like, you know, sometimes you can weave those real world subject matters into the stuff that we're paying attention to in this dumb carnival that is sports. This is kind of like that, you know, where we know what that looks like. We know what censorship kind of looks like there. We know what heavy-handed management looks like there. And I thought the Clippers handled that pretty poorly, to be completely honest. It also goes back to, like, with the Clippers. I made this point on Twitter the other day. The Clippers know what they did. Yes, they're the ones being investigated. Like, I saw Pablo Torre actually, Tom Haberstroh found this the other day, where the Clippers scrubbed all of their Media Day stuff off of their YouTube page. That's weird. It's the only team that did that in the NBA. And like the Mavericks the other day, right? Like, during Media Day, they turned off comments from their live audience on their YouTube page. So, like, we know what it looks like when a guilty party is acting in a way that protects themselves from that kind of accountability. And and so it's like, you know, here with the Clippers, yes, you're being investigated. But at any point here, if you had any information that would let you off the hook, you could have presented it. Now, my guess is, this is just a guess, but my guess is that information would let them off the hook, but would maybe get Kawhi into some trouble, or would maybe get some lower level Clipper staff into some trouble, or they would throw some lower level Clipper staff to the wolves or something like that. And that might be something that, like, the Clippers are reluctant to just release publicly until the investigation forces them to do so. But, like, I thought it was really weird that the Clippers basically, to a man, were like, yeah, we're, you know, we welcome this investigation. We're confident that this investigation will present facts that will allow us all to move on and prove that we are innocent of all of these things. And it's like, Well, if you had that information that would prove that you are innocent, just present it once. Pablo Torre has been reporting on this thing for months. He's been asking you guys to participate in this investigation. If you had some kind of clarification that would have avoided five podcasts, however many thousands of tweets that have all gotten their millions of impressions, all indicating how guilty everybody knows or thinks that you are. Like, if you could have nipped this in the bud earlier with some kind of clarification or explanation to Pablo Torre that would have stopped that investigation back then you wouldn't be in the spot that you're in right now. And now at this point, the more that you dig your heels in on nonsense like ripping a microphone out of Ramona Shelburne's. By the way, Ramona Shelburne, like, I actually thought this was really kind of interesting. This is very inside baseball. But that Steve Ballmer interview that Ramona Shelburne did for ESPN, that's going to go down in infamy. That's going to be a really bad look. And in that interview, Steve Ballmer appears to have lied quite a bit. And for Ramona Shelburne to agree to an interview that essentially comes off as propaganda, that's like, I know that Ramona has a reputation for whatever and stuff like that. She's still a journalist and she's still a damn good journalist. And so this notion that her questions, like, she had the exchange the other day with Lawrence Frank, which was, has Uncle Dennis or Kawhi Leonard requested anything of the Clippers that goes beyond what is legally allowed in the CBA that wouldn't circumvent the cap? And Lawrence Frank's response echoed that of Steve Ballmer, which was, they know the rules, we know the rules, and if need be, we remind them and ourselves of the rules. And Ramona followed up, because she'd already gotten that question before. She'd already gotten that response. She followed up with, is that a yes or is that a no? And the response to that from Lawrence Frank was, yes, we all know the rules, which isn't what Ramona was asking. So, like, Ramona kind of went after them a little bit and then aired how they handled Media Day in this way, probably because she's pissed off that Steve Ballmer used her for propaganda in that first interview that, again, has aged like milk in the hot summer. So, yeah, I you know, don't piss off journalists, man. Like, don't piss off good journalists, I should say. All right. Let's see. I'm going to go with, Omaris Hall asking, you know what's funny? Dallas media isn't criticizing AD, but they did criticize Luka. So, all right, this needs to be pointed out on the AD front. Anthony Davis suffered some kind of an eye injury last year that he apparently tried to play through initially, which he probably shouldn't have. Required surgery during the offseason, and that surgery, or the recovery from that surgery, didn't allow him to exercise, and he gained some weight, right? That's the easiest explanation here. Now, he tried to do the whole, like, I like to come into training camp a little bit heavier because I know over the course of the season, I'm going to lose weight. Okay. I just think the more likely explanation here is that he couldn't work out and his weight got away from him a little bit, which is easy. That happens very easily at Anthony Davis's age, you know. So just look at me. So when it comes to Anthony Davis's weight and how the media handles it, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it. My guess is, because you have DLLS, which I think does a really good job of holding the Mavericks' feet to the fire, or did a very good job of holding their feet to the fire after the Luka trade. My buddy Kirk, right, on Pod Maverick, which is an Odyssey platform. Nobody is harder on the Mavericks than Kirk. And there are, you know, several other, you know, voices and stuff like that. You know, Tim McMahon is, you know, with ESPN. He's not exactly, you know, state media for the Dallas Mavericks either. So I would say that, like, I understand, you know, the immediate response or our initial instinct on these things is to jump to the conclusion that our guy is getting or got worse treatment there than our old guy is now getting there. But if AD's weight is a problem, and that is the reason or one of the reasons that they traded Luka, I don't think local media will handle that very well at all. All right, you guys can hear my voice. It is going. It is not exactly holding up. So I'm going to go ahead and get out of here and try to record a Lowdown as well. So again, by the way, you can find Lowdowns here on this feed or on YouTube. So check out those episodes when they air. The first one aired yesterday. And yeah, check out that tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow afternoon, Pete and I will record an episode of The Hook in preparation for the preseason opener as well. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.